Before we kick off this edition of the Packaging News podcast, a quick reminder that tickets are available for this year's Environmental Packaging Summit. The two-day event runs from the 13th to 14th of June at a new venue, the Eastside Rooms, Birmingham. For more information on the agenda and ticket details, go to summit.packagingnews.co.uk. And the UK Packaging Awards have also launched and are open for entries. Deadline is 9th of June, and for more information on the categories, go to ukpackagingawards.co.uk. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Packaging News podcast. I'm Philip Chadwick, editor of Packaging News, and today we're talking tax. It's almost 1 year since the introduction of the UK's plastic packaging tax, designed to increase the amount of recycled content in plastic packaging. But has the market received the new tax well, and is it pushing businesses into change? To discuss this, I'm delighted to welcome Recoup's policy and infrastructure projects manager, Tom Macbeth, to our studio today. Tom, welcome, and pleased to have you on episode 2. Thank you very much for joining us. Tom, so briefly, before we get into the tax itself, tell us a bit about Recoup and what Recoup does.
Yep, Recoup's a membership organisation and a charity. It's been operating since the early 90s when it originally was set up to collect plastic bottles for recycling in a very manual way. And over the years, it sort of developed as the interest in plastic recycling has developed. So we've got around 170, 180 members from across the whole plastic supply chain, mainly for the UK. So that includes local authorities, it includes manufacturers of packaging, it includes waste disposal companies. And basically we operate a number of projects and a number of pieces of work around the changes in policy, the changes in infrastructure, the data around recycling. We have a lab for testing the recyclability of products. And the new areas as well that have come up in recent years. So looking at the life cycle analysis of plastic and other materials for packaging, and also lab testing as well for trying to get a good understanding of the most positive environmental sort of setup for packaging, if you like, and trying to achieve the best goals environmentally.
So you've been, probably fair to say, been pretty busy with the tax in the last, well, been before to a year in some ways, a little bit before. Again, for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain to us what the tax is and how it really works?
Yes, so there's been a number of policies going over the last few years. Some of them are in place, some of them are coming into place, and they all sort of overlap in the packaging sector and the plastic sector in particular. But the plastic packaging tax is sort of unique in this area in that it is a tax. It's not a piece of policy designed to drive certain behaviours, although it does drive certain behaviours. The setup is that HMRC introduced it last year, 1st of April 2022, and it was introduced as a £200 per tonne tax on plastic packaging that was placed on the UK market that was predominantly plastic by weight, with very limited exemptions except for things sort of human medicine contact packaging and things like that, which are very sort of legislative challenges to it. The tax has gone up, the tax goes up on Saturday to £210.82, which isn't quite as catchy as £200 per tonne, but it's £210.82 in line with inflation. And it is effectively aiming to incorporate recycled content in plastic packaging. So to avoid paying the tax, there must be evidence to HMRC that there is more than 30% recycled content in any item of packaging. With the overall view being that, obviously, more recycled content is used, there's a greater market for recycled content in packaging, and less virgin oil, plastic, is used in the production of plastic that's placed on the market.
So when you say Saturday, that's the first of April, isn't it? So
it's the 1st of April. If it's not Saturday, it's the 1st of April.
So it seems to me that there's a lot to this, and it's kind of usually the government wants to nudge people to do the right thing, doesn't it? Whereas a tax feels very much a kind of like, we really want you to do this. And I know the Treasury has said, I've been to events where they've said, oh, we really don't want this industry to pay this. This is one of the taxes that we don't want you to pay. But I guess in some ways, if you're going to you know, make a change. Tax is, in some ways, the quite a big sort of tool to use for the government, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very it's a bit like the sugar tax when that was introduced, or the plastic single-use carrier bag charge that was brought in a few years ago. It's a very sort of direct, you will do this or you will pay this approach, which is, like I say, it's very different to the other policies that we're seeing brought in, which are sort of more more broad in their scope of what they're targeting. So plastic packaging tax is what it says. It's very much targeting plastics. It's plastic packaging. And although it's incentivizing the use of recycled content, or that's how it's described, it's really, without the other policies being brought in to sort of counterbalance it, it's really a to avoid paying the tax, you don't use virgin plastic. What you use instead is kind of irrelevant because you simply not use virgin plastic. Recycled content is one of those things for plastic or glass, paper, whatever it may be. What we're still waiting to see is the development of things like extended producer responsibility, which will see changes to the way in which the packaging industry funds collections through charges on packaging based on its recyclability or its environmental impact, and other policies as well, single-use plastic bans, deposit return schemes for drinks containers, which is a big discussion at the moment, and consistency in collection as well at curbside, as well as a whole host of others for Europe, which will affect the packaging market, and Northern Ireland as well, which has its own very unique setup and challenges that relate to, well, we won't go into that in specific.
for another day, another podcast, if you like. So far, I mean, we're a year in. Just trying to gauge the impact that it's had on the market so far. I mean, anecdotally, I've heard all sorts of stories about how actually companies are just paying the tax because perhaps sourcing recycled content is been quite hard. In some instances, plastic for them is still the best material, and virgin plastic is the right material for them. So they've just kind of gone, we'll just pay it, and that's the end of it. But is that, again, that's anecdotal. Is that what you're hearing in the market? I mean, what's been the reaction so far to the tax a year on?
In the initial, I mean, if we go back a year, maybe just over a year before the tax, there was a lot of discussion about the communications of the tax, what was in scope, what was out of scope, what was packaging, what wasn't packaging, what evidence was required, and all those kind of different variables. And we've certainly seen that kind of tail off as the reporting periods have gone on. So I think it's credit to HMRC that they've managed to communicate it in such a way that they've at least been able to, but people may not agree with what they've decided, but they've at least communicated what they've decided in that respect. We have seen some different figures sort of floating around of the number of companies that have registered for the tax, and originally it was up to 20,000 companies. There was a report a few weeks ago said it was actually about 3,500 that are registered. I think we need to see the HMRC figures come out sort of officially as to, you know, why that is or what it actually is. And also how much is actually being paid in terms of the tax, because there's been so many variables, particularly in the last year, but even going back the last few years of, we could list them off, but Brexit, COVID, war in Ukraine, the energy prices, oil prices changing, all of these things that have impacted the cost and viability of recycling, or the value of recycled content. If oil prices go down, virgin plastic prices go down. All these other policies that are being brought in that are changing material streams. We've got a number of different policies to do with things like food contact regulations, which are very, very challenging when it comes to incorporating recycled content anyway. And also generally logistics and costs of the recycling process. I think it's fair to say in the last year, and well, for the last number of years, £200 is not a, there's not a not a lot of examples where £200 would be less than the difference between virgin and recycled content. And when you consider the concerns that packaging manufacturers might have of using recycled content, which may be perceived as lower quality than virgin polymer, then the actual tax maybe is very much a tax and not a driver to overcome that difference.
And is it also an issue with, I mean, you talk a lot about infrastructure as well in the UK, and in getting that recycled content as well, I mean, is a real challenge, I guess, for many. Do you think this tax is going to help sort of stimulate the market in some ways in that direction. Do you think that will happen, or do you think there's the market's got to kind of do a bit of catching up before it does what kind of the government wants it to do, if you like?
I think it will be some of the other policies will have a much more profound impact on it. So, for example, consistent collections, which will mandate what is collected at curbside, whether it be plastic films and flexibles, deposit return schemes, if they're brought in, will take PET drinks bottles out of the curbside waste streams and into the deposit return streams. And things around food contact and the requirements for food contact, those kind of legislation sort of, until they're in place and it's clear what the expectation can be for the waste streams, it's very difficult to expect the infrastructure to be put in place, because they don't want to build a multi-million pound plant to sort something that is then not in the waste stream, or it's not desirable, or there's no requirement to collect it, or councils don't want it. As far as the packaging tax goes, I think, although it does, like I say, although it does have these drivers for using recycled content, there seems to be a lot more. There's a lot of gaps that need plugging with other policy, I think, before it can be considered a real driver for investment in infrastructure. But it does certainly highlight the challenges for things like food contact material, which have their own set of legislation and have very specific requirements. Like I said, the medical packaging has got an exemption, but there are some. It's only medicine contact. There are some things around the fringes that fall within scope, but they have very specific requirements to meet their other legislation, which may not be possible. And the same as well with chemical recycling or non-mechanical recycling, which the infrastructure, it's fair to say, in the UK certainly isn't in place. There's trial infrastructure in place. There's maybe one or two commercial scale in Europe. But HMRC's position on the measurement of how you can evidence recycled content from that process isn't realistic in terms of how things are set up at the moment. So there's a bit of a stall on investment in that side of things as well, which, when you consider the cost of energy that's gone through the roof, the cost of, well, the lead times for development of infrastructure, the actual getting the equipment, getting it installed, I mean, all these things have increased sort of by years rather than by months. There's a lot of moving parts, and the packaging tax has just been one of those moving parts over the last year, I think.
And yeah, you're right on the moving parts thing. I mean, this sits in the Treasury, whereas many of the other changes that are being implemented, such as in EPR and DRS, sit in DEFRA. So you have this strange situation where you've got, I mean, am I right in saying that at one stage there were different definitions of what packaging is? So Treasury has its definition of packaging and DEFRA has something completely different, and it feels a little surprising to me that there isn't quite so much joined up thinking on this. Is that fair, or am I being unfair to the government?
We've seen it with the EPR, sort of the introduction of extended producer responsibility and the reporting process for that a lot of companies have been asked for information that they feel they're already providing for the tax, or they're already expected to require provide for the tax. And they're saying, well, why do we need to provide it again? And DEFRA are saying, because we're DEFRA, not HMRC. And HMRC, there isn't that quite joined up. And I think that's something that it has been mentioned a lot sort of within industry, but it hasn't been acknowledged so much, I don't think, with the government, is that aside from the cost of the tax, there's and the same with EPR and the same with all these policies, I suppose, where a manufacturer is or whoever is required to report or required to evidence that they're meeting a threshold or they're not meeting a threshold or whatever it may be, that it's quite burdensome, and it all comes with a cost that is not factored into X amount of tax has come in because X amount of companies are paying it. The amount of time behind this and the amount of requirements and hurdles that are having to be jumped in order to meet the requirements that have been set by government, it all has that knock-on effect, which obviously isn't particularly ideal in an environment where, I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, margins for profit in these companies are very, very fine and very challenging. So, I think it certainly has room for improvement in terms of joined up thinking or making it more streamlined or something.
And again, many of the things that industry has said with regards to infrastructure, and there's a kind of feeling, and still a view that there's still a view about it not being ring-fenced, or that this money that's coming... I mean, how much money so far has been raised from the tax? Do you know?
It's hard to say, but the original estimations were around $250 million a year, I believe. But then if you were to factor in the idea that only a quarter of the companies have registered, I suppose you could assume it's a quarter of the companies are paid. And also how you measure, until you've got the figures, who's meeting the criteria and not paying the tax and who is. I think we need some official figures on that, but it's a significant amount of money, and it's as you said before, it's a tax. It's not ring fenced. It goes into a government budget somewhere.
And that's the thing. I mean, there's kind of a feeling like, I know 250 million might be a bit of a drop in the ocean for some, but when you've got an infrastructure that perhaps could do with a bit of investment, and there's still a feeling that perhaps this tax was maybe a missed opportunity in some ways. Perhaps instead of it just going to Treasury coffers, it could have been sort of ring-fenced for waste management, for collection, for just getting an infrastructure in place. Did you feel that there's a kind of a missed opportunity in some ways here?
Yeah, we Recoup and the British Plastic Federation put together a document originally to HMRC, proposing that some of that money is used to sort of bring together a recycled content verification scheme or system, where it would help to streamline the process, it would help to certify and verify claims of recycled content. It may unlock the issue around chemical recycling, and that it would certify, which is a whole other issue for HMRC, and that they're not allowed to pick and choose. And in terms of, compared to 250 million a year, it's not a huge investment to put something like that in place, or we don't believe it would be. But unfortunately, we haven't seen that as yet. It seems the money is very much with the government, and they're sort of leaning more towards EPR for funding the collection infrastructure, at least. And we're still waiting to see how that kind of falls into place and how that looks.
Yeah, there is that kind of, there is a lot of industry frustration about it, and I know that's probably won't change, but I'm sure you'll keep sort of politely banging on the door, if you like, and asking them, can we ring fence it? But it is, when you look at what it was happened so far, do you think there's been any kind of change in industry on how plastic is put on the market, in terms of plastic packaging, in terms of design, in terms of how brands, retailers are thinking about their packaging? Have you seen anything, any changes in the recycled content? I mean, we've reported a lot on plastic manufacturers providing more products that are designed to meet the tax, or so that companies don't pay the tax. Are you seeing the same thing? Are you seeing a change?
There's certainly been an increase. I mean, even before the tax, the last few years, as there's been more interest, there's been an increase in, incorporating recycled content. It's been quite a good a green label to have on a bottle to say that it has, isn't it? It predates the tax in that respect, I think. I think the challenge is picking out the different moving parts, the different variables of things that have impacted the market, particularly in the last year, to say, well, the tax had this impact, because so many things have worked against the industry in terms of costs, in terms of logistics. But to say the tax, has driven, if there's more recycled content, whether it's because of the tax or whether it's because of consumer behaviour, whether it's because COVID slowed down progress and now we're returning to normal and there's a bit more infrastructure or capacity available to be able to provide that content. Maybe the oil prices have changed in a way that the prices are more favourable to recycled content. I think it's very difficult to sort of measure, but we do see sort of across the board there is more interest in incorporating recycled content. There is still discussions that go on about material substitution and using, drinks cartons instead of bottles, using aluminium cans or, glass bottles instead of plastic bottles, whatever it may be. But I think to say that that's entirely because of a tax would be pushing it, I think.
I'd certainly, the government would love you to say that it was, but yes, you're much slightly right on that. And I think that it's interesting looking at consumer side of things as well. I mean, consumers have often been credited with driving change in this area. But I guess when you have a tax that many companies some companies have opted to pay, does that, it's probably a big question, I don't know if you can answer it, but does that in some ways mean that that will be loaded onto the consumer at the tills at some point? I mean, you talked about it with EPR about the, you know, producer pays, but isn't ultimately the consumer going to pay if you're loading more costs onto business? Is that similar with the tax, or is it perhaps not quite big enough for companies to go, well, we've got to pay this tax, but we've got to put the costs on somewhere?
I think it would be, I wouldn't have thought so, not in a considerable way anyway, particularly in respect of the cost of everything going up at the moment. I think the increase of £200 per ton on packaging would be quite low. I think what it probably doesn't do, and I suspect you'll go to a question of whether it should be increased or not, but it probably doesn't generate enough incentive to either, you know, to increase the price and get the consumer sort of fired up and thinking, why are we paying this? Just include recycled content. But also it doesn't really bridge that gap in terms of the cost of recycled content against virgin for the company to, you know, make multi-million pound investments in infrastructure changes or logistic changes or whatever it is they need to do. But no, I don't think it feeds down to the consumer, at least not to the extent of being particularly noticeable when you measure it alongside the general fluctuations in costs of plastic and the fluctuation in cost of, you know, manufacturing packaging. These things have been sort of up and down for the last few years anyway, and generally it's kind of absorbed, I think, in the actual sales cost, I suppose, and it's more about the product than it is the packaging.
And yes, you're right. I was going to ask about the increase, or whether it's going to be increased. In fact, actually, the government sort of did that. I mean, I asked the question before the increase, or rather, when I mentioned it to you earlier and said, oh, will it go up? And then, lo and behold, it did go up. I'm not entirely surprised that it did. But firstly, what reason did the government give for it to go up to, what is it, against
£210.82. It was to, in line with inflation, which is why it's a 1st of April switcher. It seemed to be very, very late notice. I think it nearly slipped under the radar because it came out in the spring budget. But yeah, it's gone up in line with CPI.
And so I suppose there is an option to increase it further in the future. Do you think government would do that if they didn't feel that it was getting the right kind of results?
I mean, it's something they've mentioned throughout the consultations and going back the last couple of years, even prior to it being introduced, it was that it could be changed. In terms of increasing the amount of the tax, I think there's also a strong argument for increasing the threshold. The 30% recycled content could be more. Of course, if there's certain types of packaging, which we know there is, that can't meet the 30%, then maybe that's a bit cruel without the other policy drivers to enable it. But also, it's very directed at plastic packaging. Does it need to just be directed at plastic? Is there any reason it couldn't be directed at glass, aluminium, metals, paper, whatever it may be? And does it need to just be directed at packaging? Because you look at EPR and you look at particularly policies across Europe that are coming in terms of EPR for things like toys and hard plastics in France. There's a lot more plastic out there that could incorporate recycled content, or maybe it already does, that HMRC, if they're wanting to tax it, or they're wanting to generate funds, or they're wanting to drive the use of recycled content, maybe it doesn't need to be limited to, you know, milk bottles and drinks bottles and plastic film, which in terms of, it's a huge proportion, of course, of the plastic that's used, but in terms of volumes, in terms of getting recycling rates up, which is the driver of EPR and the reforms in general, maybe it could go further to expand into other types of packaging.
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought of that, really. But I mean, you're right. Packaging is very much the focus, and plastic, of course, is, I suppose, because, you know, for the last few years, that seems to have been many people's sort of almost a laser-like focus in some ways. But I hadn't thought about the idea of sort of like, yes, other products, other plastic products, which could come into it. I mean, I don't know, you might have given a few people in government an idea or two there.
I'm sure the other material industries might argue differently. Yes. But I also think that those industries already incorporate quite a lot of materials, so maybe it's not viable. Maybe it's something that was considered and it wasn't viable, but it seems it would help to sort of balance the, you know, the different materials, so the decisions are made on incorporating recycled content or the environmental impact through EPR rather than simply moving away from one material because you get taxed on that material and not on another. Just a thought, anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And looking at the future then, I mean, the final sort of like question really, looking at the future of the tax, and I mean, touched on what government might, in the clear blue sky thinking, do in the future, but do you think it is going to have an impact on in terms of how people are thinking about their plastic packaging and how people are thinking about, you know, their requirements in this area? And do you think that obviously is a long-term future goal of the government, but do you think industry is going to change quite a lot in the next 5 to 10 years over this?
I think it certainly helped to highlight the issues that it raises, that there is limitations in capacity for things like, you know, food contact materials in some respect. It's highlighted the issues with reporting for chemical recycling, all these things that we now need to find solutions in order to adequately, because these aren't even unique to the UK, these challenges. I mean, they've come up in discussions in Europe when Italy and Spain are looking at a plastic tax as well. They're going to see the same issues with recycled content from chemical recycling, where they're going to need to find a way to audit it or a way to verify it, which from our tax and from our experience, we know is not something that is particularly suitable right now.
So just check, are we in the UK the first to have this kind of tax from what you understand? I mean, you mentioned other countries perhaps following suit as well.
Yeah, in Europe, I believe, yeah. I'm not sure. I believe probably globally, but certainly in Europe. Spain and Italy are both introducing or may have introduced a plastic tax, but there was some delays there to do with COVID generally. And their metrics are slightly different in how they charge them and whether it's a tax, or I'm not sure if it's a tax or if it's ring fence money or how it quite works, but yeah, I believe the UK was the first to introduce one.
And so yeah, just to conclude then, I mean, it is a I hate to use this frame, but it is a phrase, it is a bit of a game changer in many ways. Yeah,
and we see it with, yeah, again with the other policies we've borrowed from Europe to see that we want a deposit return scheme, and they've obviously seen that we're introducing tax and thought that was a particularly good idea. And yeah, you know, on the surface, it is a very positive piece of policy. It has a very clear driver, or it communicates a very clear driver rather. It just needs that sort of framework around it to ensure that companies aren't just going in a direction to get away from that tax, and they've got a three, you know, get out of jail, get out of paying the tax free card, just by going to whatever. We need that infrastructure of other policy in place, really, to try and close those. They're not loopholes. I'm trying not to use the word loopholes, but try and close the network around it so that there's not simply, well, you're not using plastics, that's fine, you don't have to pay the tax, but you're using something that's less environmentally friendly or has more of a carbon impact or is less recyclable or whatever it may be. There needs to be that sort of network of policies around it to prevent that sort of just... You want us not to use virgin plastic, we won't use virgin plastic.
Comes back to that sort of joined up thinking, yeah. Sort of is needed on it. So,
and I think we hopefully from the policies that... that are being pitched and the way that EPR is being pitched and the way that we're seeing things like single-use plastic bans that are coming in to remove certain types of plastic. We're seeing the deposit return schemes, which should streamline consistency or bring in films and flexibles on a much larger scale in curbside collections. That those sort of things do seem to be coming together. And I think that's where the tax needs to sit. It needs to sort of bed in and see how it's performing, but also how it's going to perform when surrounded by these other policies, and whether there are gaps, there are things that need plugging, and whether it's for the tax to expand or another policy to expand or another policy that needs to come in, I think that remains to be seen.
Quite a bit of time, there's lots of things happening at the same time, so there's a lot of bedding in to go over the next five years.
Yeah, and the last 5 years. It's been a long time coming, but at least We're seeing a lot of progress at the moment, particularly from DEFRA, in terms of these, you know, engagement on these policies. So it looks like it's coming, and it may be a bit shaky in terms of its implementation, or, you know, finding out the hard way that there's gaps or whatever it may be, the challenges that are upcoming. But at least we're finally seeing some progress.
Great stuff. Well, Tom, thank you very much indeed for coming in and explaining to us what the packaging tax is, and we'll see. Maybe in a year's time, maybe it has bedded in a little bit more, and we'll find out more. But Tom, in the meantime, thank you so much indeed for your time and
for
coming in. And thank you very much for your insight. Really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed that, listening to us. If you did, then please leave us a comment and please let us know what you thought of it. And until the next Packaging News podcast, it's goodbye.